When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
And welcome to another Monday Night Master Debaters, the round table with no point. That's because it's round. Tonight, I'm joined by my good friend Ryan Dean and a repeat victim, Mr. Ron from New England. Ron, how's it going, bud?
It's going good, Matt. How are you?
Good. Ryan, how you doing, bud?
Same old stuff over here, dude. The internet's a little slow for some reason. So is cell phone service. So we'll see if this is Ukraine or Russia. We'll see what's up.
Oh, it's a hack. We've been hacked.
Already.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we were talking already, and I want to hit this kind of up front and one of the many things we can hit on tonight. But this madness of this whole Ukraine situation and Russia, and, you know, it's... I've been following it much like you guys since it started and before, because this has been percolating, you know, since all that went down in 2014. This isn't anything new. It's just kind of come to a head, and there's a couple things that I can't figure it out, because it doesn't seem to make sense. You're hearing one thing in the news, you're hearing a different thing on the ground. And then you go to the socials, and man, you're seeing a wide variety of stories and themes and, you know, goals behind it. And I just don't know what to make of it. And, you know, it's funny. The one thing that I have learned is this has just illustrated even more and more to me that you have to pick a team. Right. In the social media world, or in the, you know, that world, you have to pick a team, because I stayed in the middle. I don't think Russia's right in this. I don't think Ukraine's right in this. And I really don't care either way. And I hope we don't get involved from United States standpoint. But you watch social media and everybody has, I stand with Ukraine, or you get a few people who, you know, got some balls and throw the Russian flag in their profile picture. And but you know, it is what it is. I don't know what to make of it. You know, I hear stories from Putin's taking out the deep state, to we're taking out bio labs, to this is kind of a distraction from all our problems here. And, you know, I don't know what to, I think it may be a little all the above. And the other interesting thing that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about is in January, the ex-president of Ukraine was brought in and on treason charges. And I don't know how that ties into this whole scenario with why Russia would invade, but basically what he's being charged with is, back in 2014 and 15, buying coal from the separatists, you know, and that's when they had the, what is it? The Donbass region that separated from Ukraine, on the eastern side. And so supposedly he was funding them by buying coal from them. And that's what they're charging him on 10 years later. But I don't know. What do you guys make of this whole scenario?
Well, Poroshenko, when he was president, I mean, the United States actually overthrew him and we installed Zelensky. So Zelensky is our guy. I mean, he's our guy. So, which just leads you to believe that, you know, it's a very strong possibility that he could be deep state, because Ukraine, and I'm not saying Poroshenko was any good at anything, but the Zelensky guy, he's pulled a lot of weird stuff too. So, you know, there's a lot of talk that Ukraine is a hub for human trafficking. It's like the number one hub for human trafficking, right? It's also where all the corrupt banks, and they do a lot of money laundering there. And it's also Ukraine today is what the Khazarian Empire used to be, was based in Ukraine. Well, it wasn't Ukraine back then, but you know what I'm talking about, was Khazaria. And in this talk, and Ryan and I actually talked about this last day, a little bit about the Khazaria Mafia and how the Khazarian Mafia is basically what is just another word for the cabal. It's another word for the deep state, the new world order, whatever you want to call it, right, is the Khazaria Mafia. I did a lot of reading about it today. And like I said, Ryan and I talked about that yesterday. So you have the bioweapons labs, you know, in the mix, and which just happens to be like where a lot of his Putin's attacks are. You know, if you do like a map overlay, it's like almost to the T where these bio labs are. So, and like you say, Matt, you go all over social media. Twitter's a big one. So I've been venturing into that a little bit more. And you got these, you know, you got the two sides. It's polarized, right? Just like the American, you know, the right and left. I mean, this is what we're getting right now. You got all the people with the Ukrainian flags. And then you got the people that are like, Putin's taking out the deep state. He's not the bad guy here. Faction on the other side. So, I mean, either way, it just sucks that people are getting killed. And things are getting destroyed or whatever. But when you see what's going on, like on the news, and I think they're fanning the flames for sure. Like they want this, they actually want this to be a bigger thing. And a matter, you know, and Biden's just sitting back and he isn't doing shit about it, right? He's not interested in doing anything about it because, you know, he might have something to lose, because we all know that Hunter Biden's involved with Burisma, Pelosi's kids over there, Romney's kids over there. Who's the other one, Ryan?
Pelosi too.
Oh yeah, John Kerry was the one I was thinking of.
Okay,
yeah,
the Heinz kid. Kerry.
Yeah.
And all their kids are over there making money. They're juiced in. Of course, we all know that all of these politicians that we just named are all crooked and shady as anything. So you know you got to think that maybe something's going on in Ukraine like that we don't know about, you know. And of course, this is not the Ukrainian people, right? We're not talking about the people here. We're talking about the government and the shadow government of Ukraine, or who's actually running the show over there, you know. And I had a theory. I was talking to New York Patriot a little bit, and you know, just on one of his posts, and I said that he had said that if you think that Putin is there taking out the deep state for Trump, then you're basically an idiot. And I said, well, he could be taking out the deep state. That doesn't mean he's trying to take it out for Trump. You know, you've got all these Russian oligarchs, you've got all these like billionaires in Russia. And who's to say that the deep state's not on their doorstep looking for their cut and threatening them? And this is a way for them to get away from that, where they can maybe work around. It's just one of my theories.
Well, yeah. Ron, that's a good point too, because one of the things that I heard is that, you know, one of the things Zelensky was doing was supposedly going after the Ukrainian oligarchs. And, you know how well that goes when somebody goes after the people with money. That usually doesn't work out well. But like you said, Zelensky seems to be the puppet that we installed, because he was, you know, elected overwhelmingly with zero political experience, you know, coming off right. An acting and comedian career. So,
well, he played the president on TV. So, I mean, that was his credentials going into it.
It qualifies you, right? These days. I mean, why not?
Well, there you go. Well, no different than Donald Trump, right? So there's something going on over there, right? We all know that the oligarchs are the ones that run every country, including the United States, right? So it's no different. And I mean, it's the same thing in Russia. You know, I was doing a lot of reading about that now Putin's under fire. He's under fire from within, from all these oligarchs over there that are like, hey, what are you doing? You're costing us billions of dollars here, right? You got to quit this shit. You know, whatever it is you were doing, get it done and get out so we can get back to making money. You're making our wallets look bad. You know, so I did read a few reports like that too. So he's under fire. And in this talk that Putin's, you know, going cuckoo, maybe, you know, same thing like what we say, what Biden's doing. Ryan and I talked that Putin looks, you know, we understood that Putin had some weird sickness in the last few years. And maybe that's coming to fruition. And this is something that he wants to do before he's gone. And then you got people on Fox News predicting that he's going to be dead in a week. So,
yeah, you know, it's just that he's got his finger on the button, right, Ron? I mean, that's the other thing. Well, we're going to DEFCON 1. We're gonna keep cranking it up. You know, Putin's gonna start this nuclear war. Yeah.
So they're pushing the nuclear war scare on us, which I just don't see happening. I just really don't. I did see a video come out of Ukraine today. Of course, said it was out of Ukraine. That shows like this massive explosion and a massive mushroom cloud. Well, it seems to me we would know that if he was using nuclear weapons, right? And judging by what he's doing and how long it's taking him to even get it to Kiev, I don't think he's going to be using any nuclear weapons. I mean, if he was going to do that, like he could have done that already. You know, if he wanted Ukraine territory, why would you want to irradiate it?
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. Right? If you're going to plan on taking something, and that's what I don't see this as him trying to, you know, overtake Ukraine and bring them back into the fold. You know, I think he wants to keep them there as the buffer. Right. Obviously he doesn't want them to join NATO. But at the same time, you hear, you know, one of the reports early was that he was going to take out the Nazis in Ukraine, which I found to be interesting because I remember back when, you know, in 2014, when the whole revolution was going on, that was one of the talks, was that these forces, a lot of them were, you know, essentially white nationalists they were developing this sort of, you know, extreme military and that they were, you know, Nazi-esque. I don't want to say, you know, the Nazis again, because they're nowhere near there in scale or scope, but along those lines. And I haven't heard anything about it since.
Dude, I saw that as I think it was Putin's way of kind of making fun of the American government for calling everything Nazis. Things like, oh, I'm just going in there trying to take out the Nazis. You know what I mean?
Actually, Ryan, there is... Okay, so in Ukraine, you have the military, then you have their version of the National Guard, but then you have armed militias, right? Mm-hmm. So Ukraine, there was factions in Ukraine after World War II that remained very loyal to the Nazis. And of course, this mindset is brought up generational, right? So did you guys see any of the pictures of some of the militia guys and their militia flags? They're Ukrainian colors, but they have the swastika in the middle.
Yep.
Just like the Nazi flag.
Ron, you'll see militia pictures with the actual Nazi flag too. I've seen those as well with the, you know, the red, white, and black one.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a neo-Nazi faction in the militia in the Ukraine, and right now, let's face it, the Ukrainian government's handing out, what they hand out, over 10,000 automatic weapons, and.
Yeah. There's neo-Nazi factions everywhere, though. You know what I mean? And whether it's the United States, whether it's Russia, I'm sure Russia's got a decent population of white supremacy there too. But yeah, man. And another thing too is we would see if we were in support of a certain side, and we saw these neo-Nazi plants there, we would call them plants, right? But then, like, if it's on another side, we'd be like, no, dude, this is real. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to think about it like that, where there's like a confirmation bias, no matter which way you're looking at it. Right now, I was looking into, you know, the movie Hostel Oh, Ron, you'd like it. Right now, you should watch it. Like, at, like when you're, if you got some free time, because it takes place in Eastern Germany, but these kids go and they try and party in Amsterdam, which is, you know, obviously over to the west in Europe. And then they go over to Eastern Germany. They never really define where they're at, but there's a lot of human trafficking going on in this movie. And it kind of, I was just trying to see if I could like definitively find where they end up going. But the people don't even know where they're at and they end up going out. But it looks like they're in Russia. But I wonder if it's in Ukraine. You know what I mean? Just some of that predictive programming. It's produced by Quentin Tarantino. Eli Roth was the director. So it's a, you know, highly connected, probably a subliminal message or two in that movie.
Oh, yeah, that very well could be. But
that's interesting.
I just watched this. They say Russia's 40-mile convoy closes in on Kiev. So here's how the news gets blown out of proportion, right? Earlier today, they were saying that a drone had gone over and was taking a picture of a 3-mile-long convoy headed to Kiev of Russian soldiers, you know, tanks, APCs, support vehicles, and all this. Now they're saying it's 40 miles.
Am I wrong? Why wouldn't that be in kilometers? Am I wrong to think that?
Well, maybe because they're reporting in the United States.
Okay.
So they're just giving us the United States version. I mean, we know what a kilometer is in the automotive business, right? Yeah. And in the military, a kilometer, when you hear somebody say a click, like it's five clicks out, that means a click is a kilometer.
Yep.
So there's a lot of military people would know that. But, you know, average American citizen, they're not going to know what a kilometer is. So when they tell you on the news, they just say miles.
And think about that. Think about 40 miles. Come on now. And we saw this too. I've seen a few videos of, you know, supposed them moving massive amounts of tanks and stuff on train lines. And, you know, how valid that is, because that's a lot of the fear porn they used back in 2020 when they were talking about martial law here. You know, you saw those videos of Humvees and tanks and vehicles on trains on long lines. And there was no explanation to it other than, oh, they're coming to your cities and, you know, be ready. They're moving NATO troops around. And
that was just fear porn, Matt. And the same thing, they had the videos of the UN vehicles on the train. And come to find out, they were just coming from the company that builds them for the UN and the United States. Okay. So shipping military equipment by rail, I mean, that's the best way to do it. I mean, even the Nazis. Okay. So when the Nazis during Operation Barbarossa, when they invaded Russia, and they would have all these trains that would go up to what was Leningrad, which today is St. Petersburg, they moved all their tanks, all their armored personnel carriers, all their trucks by train. You know what I mean? That's the quickest way to get them there. Is by train. And when people go on and on online, I mean, these people are mostly idiots. Yep. They're like, oh my God, look what I just saw. I just saw this today. Dude, you didn't just see that today. That video is from like 2 years ago.
Well, and that's the problem, right? I'm having, Ron, is between the news and social media, 90% of the videos, pictures, stories you're getting are bullshit. You know, you they're all being, I mean, you go to, it's funny because I check now every day, the BBC, you know, the British Broadcasting Channel, their web page, because they're actually calling out all of the fake stuff that's been put out there in the news and on social media. And it's nonstop. I mean, you're seeing people, supposedly soldiers, walking around with wooden guns. You know, you're seeing guys standing in the background, their clip falls out of their weapon, and like all this like comedy, you know, it's like the worst of the best of the nonsense all in one.
Did you see the trail of people running by, and there was a dummy that got blown up into the air, like a crash test dummy?
I saw that.
I mean, like, what's the point of that? Because clearly, like, so what I don't think, and maybe we can all agree on this, we're not saying that there's not any kind of war or conflict going on over there right now, but what's the point of showing shit like that?
What's the point of that? It's the same thing they did in the beginning of COVID, Ryan. It's to push their narrative, right? I mean,
that was from a movie.
The hospitals and, you know, there were dummies in those beds, and we've seen it in Ukraine too. I saw it the other day. There was a video of a quote unquote hospital that had to move all the infants to the basement.
Yeah.
And
all subways.
Yeah, they were all dolls. You know, none of them were moving. None of them were crying, making a noise. And then you look at like the shine on their head. They were all like rubber dolls. And it's like, what? Why? Why do we need to do this? But I think it's just, you know, they need ammo for their story and they need to hit at you emotionally, right? To sell this.
Well, so, dude, my question is, when is social media going to just get taken, like get gotten rid of? Like, yeah. Because if that's the case, I mean, yeah, people can promote their businesses and shit on social media. But in situations like this, if you're just showing fake shit from movies and just like just spreading, deliberately spreading misinformation, and I hate that word, but it is a thing. If you're just going to spread fake shit and you're just going to try and get people on one side or the other, when is social media going to be gotten rid of altogether? Supposedly, Mark Zuckerberg asked the government if he should get rid of Russia as a whole on Facebook, right? Like no access to Facebook and Instagram for Russia.
Yeah.
Why does he have to ask? Well, why does he have to ask?
Yeah. And did you guys see the thing with Ukraine and Elon Musk? That was interesting how the Ukraine was asking, Musk to basically fire up Starlink for them. And he responded within a couple hours, supposedly, and got it up and running for them. So that was another little piece of theater that I found real interesting to pull Elon Musk into this whole scenario. Now we're getting everybody. This is like wrapping everything into one.
Isn't Elon Musk originally his family Eastern European anyway?
South African.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah. So what the deal is all them satellites are already in play, right? But in order for you to get Starlink, to get the internet, you have to have the receivers, right? So you get the receiver and you set it up. Now I've looked into this and I'm thinking seriously about getting it for my business. You put it out there, you plug it in, and that satellite dish automatically finds the satellite for you. And if anything moves, that satellite moves and keeps it tuned in. So what the deal was is that they were concerned that their internet was going to get cut off by Russian hackers. And here's the other thing. They still have high-speed internet. They still have power. If you were invading a country and you really wanted to hurt the country, that would be that's a playbook in all military. Get rid of the infrastructure. Turn off the water. This is what the Germans did in when they had the siege of St. Petersburg or siege of Leningrad. Turn off the water. Turn off the power. Of course, in these days, turn off the internet that goes along with turning off the power. You cut off their communication, you cut off their food, you cut off everything. And it makes the people think a little bit more towards doing what you tell them to do, right?
Yeah.
They still have power. They still have power. So what it was in 10 hours, Musk sent a plane over there with all kinds of the Starlink receivers. It took about 10 hours and they got to Kiev. So the receivers could get to Kiev, but the Russian troops can't.
Well, and
I just find that interesting.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, go ahead, Rye. Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at the way that, SWIFT, the banking shit from like the 70s, right? I mean, this is outdated infrastructure for banking. They're talking about, shutting down Russian connected bank accounts, talking citizens, right? Russian citizens don't get access to their banks. FIFA isn't allowing Russian soccer players, who I'm sure are a massive amounts of terrorists there. You know, these fucking 90 pound twinks running around kicking a soccer ball. No one is actually doing any damage. And they're still allowing the energy because, there is some energy that comes from the United States for Russia. Right. They could fuck with their infrastructure when it comes to energy. You know, there's a lot of petroleum based stuff that comes out of Russia. But I mean, it's kind of a mutual benefit, a mutual relationship. And there's no reason to target the citizens that have nothing to do with the actual war going on. It's similar to censorship here in the United States. You know, if you're a conservative or you're a populist, you get shut down on Instagram or you get censored. We're doing that same thing to Russian citizens that probably in all reality, maybe they don't you know, respect Putin. That's probably why they fucking moved to the United States in the first place. But they're being watched heavily right now, and that's kind of fucked up.
So a lot of Russian influencers, and I follow a few of them on TikTok, they are going on and doing videos saying, listen.
Are they of the female persuasion, Ron?
Ooh, not all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No. There's some. There's a couple of cooks that I like to follow out of Russia. Actually, he might be in one of the southern regions, like in Chechnya, Georgia, or something like that. This guy is an amazing cook. He does everything from scratch. Anyways, getting off topic. So, but a couple of them are chicks, yeah. And but anyways, they're saying how they're getting threats. People are unfollowing them and just being really nasty to them. And they're like, look, we are not Putin. We are not Putin. We are not the one. We do not believe in this war. We don't want this war. They consider Ukrainians how we consider Canadians, or how we would consider Australians or New Zealand people. You know, we're all English speaking. We're all kind of like brothers, right? All our countries are brothers. And there's a lot of Russians that actually feel that way about Ukraine. I mean, you take a lot of these older Russian guys that are in the Russian military, they're actually Ukrainian. They've been in the Russian military for so long that, like, they're generals and they're things like high-ranking people in the Russian military that are actually Ukrainian. You think they're into this? No. So it's the same thing. So Zuckerberg asking to cut off the country of Russia. I mean that's penalizing the peasants for shit that the kings do, right? And that's not cool. And you're exactly right about the SWIFT banking system. That is just a communication system. It's antiquated, and they're saying that, what we're going to do is that we're going to cut off certain banks. Now, they're going to cut off the banks that the United States government's making billions of dollars off the Russians? Come on, you know financially we're connected. We're still buying, 500 million barrels of oil?
$10 billion a month.
Yeah, from Russia. Okay, but everybody's dumping out their Stoli and dumping out their Popoff. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on, don't be a fucking
idiot.
You mean
all that shit? You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's purely virtue signaling. That's all it is. Our governor here says that he's taken all the Russian vodka and any other Russian branded products out of our state liquor stores. Of course, New Hampshire, the state controls the hard liquor, right? And I'm thinking to myself, dude, that is the stupidest thing you could ever think of, because you're taking that. We paid for that. Us taxpayers, we paid for that liquor. But I guarantee you. We did out of our tax money. I mean, that comes out of tax money to buy that alcohol. But I tell you what he's going to do, right? Because he's under attack. Our governor, who's a Republican, is under attack big time for being a rhino, right? Ever since Biden won, he took his nose out of Trump's ass and stuck it in Biden's ass. So, but I can tell you what he's going to do. He's going to take that vodka. He's going to put it back in the warehouse, and it's going to stay there till the shit blows over, and then it's going to come back out, and it's going to go in the store. He ain't going to lose no money on this deal. It's just making him look good. The elections are coming up. Yeah, it's the same reason why we have no mandates anymore. Even Boston and New York City are dropping mandates, right? So,
I'll tell you right now, it's
all for the election. It's all for the election.
I'm gonna just say it. I'll be the first one. I don't know. I don't think Putin's a crazy son of a bitch like everyone's trying to make him seem to be. I think that he's very calculated in the way that he's doing this. I just don't know what the reasoning is. That's the thing. He's not just some crazy madman.
No, I think he's, like you said, he is calculated, and he always has been. You know, I mean, he's never acted out of, you know, irrationally. And that's why, you know, I don't know what this is about, because it's certainly not what the news is telling you. He's not just a madman who's just blowing up Ukraine, you know, relentlessly. That's not true.
He's not wholesale bombing.
No.
Well, and Ron, that could be why you were saying, like, you know, we've been hearing on the news that, you know, this guy's sick. He could be sick, right? And we're seeing that he's fat. He could have gained the COVID-20, right? I mean, he could have just gotten sick, or not gotten sick, just gotten fat. But they're saying that, you know, this guy's sick. He's about to die. So he wants to go out and he wants to be like responsible for ending the West, right? I mean, this is just like, it's one of those things that you might think about when you're starting to think like, okay, this dude's got cancer. He's on his way out. Maybe he wants to start a nuclear war and he wants to see what that's like before his lifetime, because he's a selfish, narcissistic psychopath and he wants to see it. But I just don't see that, man. I don't see it. I'm not a supporter, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you there, Ryan. And that could also just be a narrative that they want to push to make us think he's crazy.
Yeah.
Because if it, okay, just say hypothetically that Putin is doing this to take out the deep state. Not saying he is, not saying he's not, but what if he is, right? The news media in the United States is controlled by the deep state. Well, all news media all over the whole world is controlled by the deep state, right?
Well, and
they're not going to tell you what's really going on. They're going to come up with their propaganda and their narrative on it, and they're going to push that narrative 24/7, just like they're doing now on Fox. And I don't care if it's Fox, CNN, fuck it, whatever. They're all pushing the same narrative right now. You could watch 5 different channels. They're all saying the same shit.
Yeah, and I was sold today, Ron, on this is a lot of bullshit. You know, virtue signaling and all that, because I saw 2 people today side with Ukraine that if this doesn't tell you something's up, then it was Klaus Schwab and George Soros. So if you got those 2 supporting you, I'm going to tend to believe there's something not right on your side.
And we got to throw Kissinger in there too, just like we talked about yesterday, Ron. Like, Kissinger is in that group. They're all German Jews for some reason. There's some significance there.
Well, they're all the German fake Jews, though, right? Yeah. They're not real.
Well,
Jews.
No. Yeah. Well, that's what they say. So Klaus Schwab, his mother that he doesn't even claim is Jewish. So they actually tried to bury that down. Now, maybe it could have came out.
Yeah, but what type of Jew, Ryan? That's what I mean. I mean, they're not real.
You're talking like cultural Jew?
Like Ron talked about in his show, there's Hebrews and there's Jews. Yeah, and most of the Eastern Europeans are Jews. They're not Hebrews.
Yeah, and the Hebrews would be the real Jews, right? And the Jews are the fake Jews.
Which ties back to the Khazarian area, right? Yeah. Which is back to that Baltic area that, you know, has a deep, deep history.
Okay, yeah, so man. You guys want to be listening to the upcoming episode of The Wicked Planet, because we're going to go all over that this
good
week.
Yeah, because so, Ron, yeah, so, Ron it, I found it a lot in my research, and I'm on the later end of the timeline. I'm in the 1700s, 1800s of it. And even there, I mean, the significance of that area, I mean, and the battles that take place in that area, the constant, there's something about that area that has more value than, you know, we've been led to believe.
Okay, what Matt, goes back, go ahead, Ryan, sorry.
I was just going to say, like we talked about, Ron, it goes back to that idea where the Russian czar was saying, hey, pick one of these 3 religions, Islam, Christianity, or Judaism. They chose Judaism. Yeah. And this is where that whole synagogue of Satan shit comes from. So yeah, dude, it's a fascinating thing. It's something that, like, you could do an entire podcast and with thousands of episodes, just diving deep into the history, taking specific people, taking different, you know, bloodlines or whatever, different events in history. And they seem to tie back to this Khazarian mafia for some reason. And I just started really looking into it yesterday before you and I spoke about it, Ron.
Okay.
I'd heard about it, but it's a deep fucking topic.
Okay, so it goes back further than that. And this is the series that we've been working on. I want to say this week will be coming up on the 4th or 5th episode. We haven't branded it yet, but I'm calling it the Babylon and Beyond series. And we're going to actually bring you pre-Khazarians, okay? So Matt, have you read anything about the connection? Because I know you like the Tartarian subject. Have you seen any of the connections between the Khazarians and Tartary?
Well, you have the connection between the Khans, right? There's the connections between the Khans and the Khazarians, because the Khans, you know, you go back to Genghis Khan, and then they started essentially the Tartarian Empire. Back in the 1200s.
Yeah. And then later on, well, actually before that, you had Attila the Hun.
Yep.
And the Huns is where the country Hungary comes from. Mm-hmm. So, but Attila the Hun was 800 years before Genghis Khan.
Yeah,
but
he Genghis was Khan, almost he was almost in Jesus. He was right after Jesus, basically, you know, a couple hundred years after that.
He was born in the 400s.
Yeah.
Attila the Hun. I want to say Genghis Khan was born in 1162.
Yeah, he started his empire in the early 12th century or early 1200s, 13th century.
Genghis Khan was a Mongol, and that is all the area where Grand Tartaria was what is Mongolia, Siberia, and coming all the way up into, even into Western Russia. So and I know that you're really into that subject, and I had actually stumbled on some information about that today when I was doing some reading. But Ryan, I think you're right. The Khazaria Mafia is actually who's running the show here. Of course, you know, we've been doing this conspiracy thing here for quite a while now. And this Khazaria Mafia, this is fairly new to me.
Me too.
But when you start looking into it, like, you're finding out that, you know, the Khazarians came in, they chose Judaism as their religion. Like you say, out of the three Abrahamic religions, right, they chose Judaism. And the
key there, Ron, is they selected. They chose. It's not by birth. Okay.
Yeah, they chose it. No, it's not. And they actually proved this with DNA, that these Khazarian Jews are not Jewish at all. They just chose it as a religion. Like if me, I decided I wanted to become a Buddhist or whatever. Or actually, that really wouldn't cut it, because if you talk about being a Hebrew or being a Jew, that's supposed to be the Hebrews is a bloodline. The Jews are not.
It's a religion. Yeah.
Well, and the reason that they would have chosen this, the reason that you, I mean, they picked the best one, because Jews have been persecuted since the beginning of time. I mean, you have history of Jews building the pyramids with slave labor. Now, who knows if you want to believe that or not? This is just what we're told in history, right? It's you can't really make fun of the Jews, or you can't say that they control the world, because that's anti-Semitism. I mean, there's a separate way to say that you're racist against Jews. You know, you're not racist if you're against Jews, you're an anti-Semite. It's a completely different thing. So they picked the very best one. And that was by design. It wasn't by chance, right? So yeah, dude, it's very, very interesting. And then, what, you know, I feel like we're talking about half the shit that we said yesterday, Ron, but like, you know, it's the idea of Hitler being a Rothschild and then just trying to exterminate all of the Jews. I mean, there's something to that too, right? Because, you know, the Rothschild family is of German Jewish descent, you know, trying to get rid of these people that have the culture, have the history, they have all this bloodline shit running through them. This Rothschild, you know, the Rothschilds are the agents, the forefront of the Khazarians. Let's tap into this illegitimate dude. He's a bastard child. Let's, you know, use him. We can make him an asshole. Let's get rid of these people, and then let's see like what we can do from there. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's fascinating.
And here's where the debate comes in. Now, it's something that I'm digging a little deeper into, because you hear some people in history that say the Ashkenazi Jews are actually descended from the Khazarian Jews. But they've done DNA on they're saying no. They're saying the Ashkenazi Jews are these Jews. The Khazarian Jews are these Jews. Now, the Khazarians, they are what they call the non-Semite Jews, because they're not Semites. And believe it or not, this all goes all the way back to the sons of Noah. You had Shem, is what his line became the Semites. And then you had Japheth. And then you had, what is the other one?
Ham.
Now I have a memory. Ham. Yeah, Ham. And Ham, allegedly, as his bloodline went off to be the beasts of the field, or the Canaanites, right? So, and I might want to double check myself on that, because that is something that we're working on. But anyway, so the Khazarians are non-Semite Jews. They picked Judaism because, like Ryan says, they kind of wanted to isolate themselves from people, so people wouldn't want to come into them or bother them because they were persecuted at the time. Well, always have been, right? But when the Khazarians were actually defeated by Genghis Khan, the Mongol, defeated the Khazarian Empire, and the Khazarians that escaped, they escaped westward into Europe. And this is where all these European Jews came, and all these European Jews that Hitler went after were actually Khazar Jews.
Okay.
They were the Khazarian Jews that Hitler was going after, because then we hear that Hitler was an Ashkenazi Jew. Yep. Which would be weird, because if he does have the Rothschild bloodline, which we believe he does, well, the Rothschilds, I feel, would be more Khazarian than they would be Ashkenazi. It's very confusing.
Interesting.
Very convoluted, but it's something that we're working on. And
well, today, Ron, you know, and what do they do, though? They change their name over and over again to cover their trail. Right. Oh, yeah. So you get good luck trying to find a true genealogy to some of these families, because, you know, and a lot of it's comical, because you look at the, especially back in the, the monarchy days of Europe, most of those leaders of the empires were German. And people don't realize that these, the French leaders, the British leaders, the crown, they were Germans who changed their name. And so there's a lot more to it. It's not a bloodline of a country. They're looking at bloodline overall. And that's why I found your series you guys got going there is fascinating. I listened to that first episode where Sean ran through the bloodlines and the 12 tribes twice, because there's just so much information in there. And
it's a lot of information. Yeah.
But it's good, it gives you that picture, and that's what a lot of people need. A lot of people need to understand some of the historical narrative of it, because they've been fed the indoctrinated story or the narrative that we've been presented, instead of let's go back to the source. And that's why Sean, with his deep knowledge of the book, he's able to quote basically passages.
Okay, so the Khazarian Jews were fabricated. They're actually, and I don't know if you've ever heard of them called this, but you know how there was originally the 12 tribes of Judea? So the Khazarian Jews are actually called the 13th tribe. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit tomorrow. Wednesday night, when we record the show Wednesday night.
Okay.
That episode will be out on Thursday. But we're going to try to, now we're not going to be able to go super deep in the 2 hours that we do our show. We may have to do several episodes to cover the whole Khazarian thing, to coin one of Ryan's favorite words, it's very fascinating how that whole setup goes. It's because the Khazarians were actually the from the cult of Baal, right? They were the Baal worshippers. Actually, after tonight, I will, actually, maybe I could do it right now. I could text you. Let me go into our lovely little Instagram group chat that we have. I'm going to send you guys a picture of a map that I started working on today. So get your phones ready.
Okay. I'm stoked. I wish that people could see what we are seeing right now, because without you having a green screen, it's just like it's like this amorphous thing. That's just like, it's like plasma. You look like plasma.
Okay, here's a little bit of mapping that I worked on today. I'm in Ukraine.
I know. Well, and that's the thing, that you look like the ghost of Ukraine, the ghost of Kiev, dude. That's what you are.
Remember last night I was trying to get that to work. Okay, so go in the group chat on Instagram. And just look at this little map that I was working on. Oh, so while we're here, so I got the map, so now I can remember, right? So the non-Semitic Khazars converted to Christianity, right? So when they converted to Christianity, this is where Zionism comes from, because Zionism is Christianity plus Judaism. That's Zionism.
Yeah, Judeo-Christian, yeah.
So if you look at that map, you can see where I got convert to Christianity, form Zionism, which equals Christians plus Jews, and then down it says given Israel after World War II.
Yep.
And it says underneath, European Jews are Khazarians equals Zionists, not real Jews or Hebrews.
This is, man, this is deep, Ron.
It's kind of, it's just kind of a cool map I was working on today.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's interesting because, you know, you bring in that part where Israel, they're given Israel after World War II. And one of the things that I found lately, and I'm going to be doing a show here in the near future on it, is the mention of 6 million Jews. And there's something to that number that, and I've seen reports that, you know, that there's a myth out there that once 6 million Jews are killed or sacrificed, then the Jews would be given their Holy Land. But see, what I found, though, is pre-World War II, okay, we're talking 1900, I'll say even to give people, narrow it down a little bit more, between 1900 and 1921, there was over 200 mentions in the New York Times and other, you know, reputable news papers about the plight and the struggle of 6 million Jews that were about to be exterminated in Russia. And it's, you know, I've never heard of it before. It, you know, I just found it like a day or two ago. I actually shared it with Ryan last night. A couple of the things I found, and I got to do some more digging into it, but I mean, it's over and over. It's talking about, you know, 6 million. And that's the number over and over that's used about them being killed. And at one, it's bizarre because in one of the articles it says the world population of Jews is 6 million. Then in the next one they're talking about, and you know, it's within the same year or a year later, they're talking about 6 million Jews just in Russia alone that are facing extermination. So it's kind of all over the place, but it's something that I've never even heard of or seen.
That's interesting. Yeah. If you could send that to me, Matt, I'd like to look at that sometime.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is. You know what it is? It's fascinating. But it's fascinating. Very, it's very, very, really, it really is very interesting. I just read through like the first like 30 or 40 of them, and they are very, very, it's fucking weird, dude. And it's from, you know, established news sources, right? So you're not getting bullshit from this.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to, you know, conspiracy.com back in the 1900s. This is from the New York Times. So, you know, right. If we're, again, take it with a grain of salt, but it was published. It's in the paper, you know. They're actual, you can see the actual publication if you really want to dig deep. And that's where I'm going next. I want to go to the source and pull some of the source documents, but I've seen.
No, we're talking like Pittsburgh newspapers and stuff, right?
I mean, yeah.
Like
New York Times, yeah. Pittsburgh. It's all over the country too. It's not like it's just the New York Times. It's
Desert Evening. I mean, yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, dude, it is incredibly, that's a good find on your part, dude.
Okay. So, you know, we know one thing that the Nazis were really good at was record keeping to their demise, actually, in the end. But with the help of our friends at International Business Machines, you know, IBM. And so, you know, I'd really like to know what the actual numbers of people that were killed in the concentration camps, you know, because that might not be including the people that they just lined up in trenches and shot, or all the, or the thousands of people they took out in the woods and shot in Riga. You know what I mean? But we do know that it wasn't just Jews that was in these concentration camps, right?
What were the numbers that you had heard?
No, it's always been 6 million, Ryan.
Whatever they talk about, 13 million is what I heard in total with like the gypsies and all these other groups, right?
Okay.
But not even
count. That could be. That could be.
Not even counting the ones that they took out and just shot. I'm talking 13 million killed in camps. So that's interesting that you bring that up, Ron. about like just slaughtering random people, dude, shooting people that surrendered. I mean, that's murder technically, right? Even if you're going war to war, like if our three countries, if we're like the leaders and let's say Ron's people surrender to Matt's and Matt's people just shoot him anyway, that's still murder, right? Yep. So, I mean, I don't know. So how many fucking people?
It's a war crime. Yeah. But if you're saying 6 million, like 6 million Jews, okay, that's 6 million Jews. And Ryan, if you say the total is 13 million, well, that would make sense because then you have the Jehovah Witnesses, the political prisoners.
Gypsies, that's my favorite, the gypsies.
Yeah, gypsies, dissidents, you know.
Mentally disabled.
Gay people, all the shit, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's your gypsies? People from Armenia, Turkey.
From that Baltic region, Ron.
I was just going to say Ukraine.
Ireland.
Kazarians. Yeah, so they killed a lot of people. But when you say 6 million Jews, like in all the reading and any documentaries I've ever said, it's always capped at 6 million. That's the number that they always use. So it's interesting that you say that 6 million Jews have to be sacrificed before they get the Holy Land.
It's a trigger number.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Yeah. See, I can't help but say that, dude, because like the shit that I learned doing this, I was a C and D student through high school. And like, it'd be crazy if, you know, if I was just to talk with like some of my old teachers, like my history teachers and shit now, I'd probably blow their fucking minds, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was such an idiot back then. And like you would never think that I would be like knowing the kind of shit that I know now. And who knows if I'm actually correct about it, but just bringing these theories up, it really is. That's the only word that I've ever been able to find that really like encapsulates the whole thing. It's fucking fascinating. It's incredibly interesting information.
You know, I'm just busting your balls.
No, but, I know. You know, no, because that was one thing when Matt and I were talking with Sherry Edwards. I went back and I listened to it a few times and I was like, damn, I said fascinating too many times. I need to work on that because it is when I hear something and especially when I'm trying to talk to a doctor, I don't want to say that's dope as fuck, dude. You know what I mean? Like I want to say
something
that makes me sound kind of smart. And that's the deepest that my vocabulary goes.
Fascinating. So Ryan, that's the new tag word for the next shirt. Listen to the dangerous world and down bottom, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just made a new shirt right now that says trust the science, but it's spelled PSYENCE with a dash. So it's like trust the psyop science.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's a nice little design.
I love it.
Yeah, dude. So no, that kind of shit is just interesting, man. There's a lot of, I will say I should just make a shirt that just says fascinating and like some glitter.
Yeah. with a unicorn.
Yeah, fascinating. A unicorn. Yes, great.
And only your friends and fans of the show will know what that means.
Yeah,
so it'd be like an inside joke. That's a great idea
for Patreon subscribers only.
Yeah
there you go. There's so your gift, you guys, there's your gift box gift,
right? I know,
so I'm that's trying to fascinating think of, shirt.
Yeah, maybe a that's fascinating fedora. Just a nice little fedora or a thong.
You gonna bring the fedora back?
Hey, that'd be sick. A little pork pie hat.
I love fedoras. You know,
so other than Ukraine, man, I don't know if we wanted to move away from that, but I mean,
yes, please.
There's got to be other shit going on that's probably more important than Ukraine to us, right? Well, is there anything?
And that's the other thing I wanted to say. You know, all the attention seems to be on Ukraine, and we're just getting out. I want to, you know, I was hoping we could get somebody from Canada on here, talk about a little bit of that because they're still protesting up there. We have.
Yeah, Daryl, you really fucked us, Daryl. If you're listening, you fucked us.
Thanks for nothing. No,
no. I love Daryl.
Yeah, no. And then you have the trucker convoy in America. And then what we also see, which is even more important, is the unraveling of not only the C-19 narrative, and you're starting to see mandates drop, but you're also a big thing dropped last week about Moderna working on, again, this mRNA technology 3 years ago and having a deal that basically set up this to show that they had been working on this for 3 years to get this into place. So
actually, yeah, it was from 2016, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 2016.
Oh yeah. So like 6 years. And, yeah.
And then what is this about the top brass from Moderna, like selling out their stock?
And supposedly vanishing, right? Deleting Twitter and just running away.
Yeah, well, one of them just bought an $8.5 million apartment in New York City. That is a nice beanie. You know I like beanies.
Is that the lined one, Ryan?
Yeah, dude, it's so sick.
I gotta get one of those.
That's the tinfoil one.
Dope. I love this thing, honestly.
I wear beanies constantly. It's freezing up here, man.
Yeah. Oh my god, what's crazy, Matt, huh? Today.
I'm not even trying to plug it. Kim just walked in and gave it to me like angry for some reason. I don't know if she's invested in the company or what's wrong with her, but she just came in and gave this to me. But it's hot here and like it's cool. Like I was wearing it at work and I forgot that I was wearing it, dude. It's actually really fucking nice. There's something about that silver interior, but sorry to interrupt.
Give me that link. I'll throw it in the notes too, because I definitely want to get one and have people check it out. Oh, okay. Ryan, put that shit away.
Got my Red Sox beanie.
Toilet paper.
My Red Sox beanie. What the fuck are you talking about?
We wipe. You like with the that fucking?
Bee. What, Matt? You don't tell me you like the Yankees. What's your pro baseball team?
Of course.
Are you talking about? You like the Yankees?
I grew up in Jersey, so I was like 20 minutes from Yankee Stadium.
Hey, well, I will say that like one of my proudest moments as a child was when I was playing baseball and the year of 9/11, the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the New York Yankees in the World Series. It was a great time for me as a child.
Hey, it was a swift kick in the balls.
Right. And Bob Brenly was a fucking commentator. They took him in as a coach and they won that first year, dude. I remember that like it was yesterday. And then the Twin Towers came a crashing down. So, you know, it was not all good. But, you know, there were some positive things for Arizona, at least.
So you got the big rivalries in pro sports, right? There's only two big rivalries. Like, one is the Red Sox and the Yankees. So okay. every Red Sox fan follows the Yankees. We respect the Yankees. We know that when the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to play, that's a huge deal, even if it's in the middle of the season when it just doesn't matter. And the Red Sox will play the Yankees on average about 10 times a year, right?
Ron, it's 19.
Oh, it's 19. So that's my sister-in-law is a huge Yankees fan, and I will sit here. She'll be watching it down a mile from here, down at the big house, and I'm up here and I'm watching it. We're texting, just talking shit back and forth the whole game. So, and it's really cool, like in the divisional series, when they always end up playing in the divisional series or whatever. But the other big rivalry in New England is the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
Oh, man, you're missing a big one, Ron.
Which one? Oh, he's talking New England.
I know, the Celtics and the Lakers, baby.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Huge rivalry.
That's true. Yeah. That's massive.
It is. You know, for some reason, I'm just not a basketball fan.
Yeah, well, you know, when you got LeBron James as your star player, it's kind of tough. But you also, I mean, in the Boston Celtics, they got Enes Kanter, who's you know, it's probably theater, but, you know, he's talking a lot of shit against LeBron. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And Turkey. So. He talks a lot of shit about Erdogan.
Well, yeah, his home country of Turkey also likes to talk shit. He's not allowed to go back.
No. Yeah. Well, that's something interesting, Ron, because I, you know, being from New England, I was always into the Yankees Red Sox rivalry. Well, then my buddy got me into college football. Well, I was into college football, but he got me into Alabama, and their big rivalry is Auburn. And, you know, I didn't understand it until I went down there and, you know, until you're in the area and understand the people and what you're dealing with. And the rivalry that they have between there, that's another area you got to look at, man, is college rivalries, because there are some bitter rivalries in college that go back, you know, to the 1800s. And and it's some real interesting stories, too. But yeah, I you know, I've gotten out of sports in the last 2 years for the most part. I'll watch my son likes baseball. still. So I'll watch the Yankees with him a little bit, and we watch Alabama football. That's our thing in the fall on Saturdays. You know, he even loves it, which is cool. Cause, to have an 8-year-old that's interested in anything these days is like awesome. Yeah. But that's our thing.
Anything other than YouTube, right? I mean, like that. Oh, dope. Jesus.
Kid City Gaming, man. That song is like drilled into my head.
Well, dude, speaking to the college rivalries real quick, I don't know if there's any really interesting like traditions that you guys have in your cities, but we have, so here in Tucson, we have the University of Arizona, and then in Phoenix, there is Arizona State, right? So it doesn't matter what sports are being played, whether it's basketball, football, those are the two main ones, but then it could be baseball, it could be any other, sport. But we have this thing here in Tucson called A Mountain, and it's right off of I-10. So if you're driving south, it's right over to your right. It's to the west, and it's an old volcano mountain, supposedly. And it's got this big, really pronounced A on it in block letters. It's a white A, and there's this game that they would play every single time they would play each other, you know, U of A versus ASU, whether it was in like, you know, ASU's coming down to U of A, they would try and paint that white A gold. And if they got caught, they'd get arrested. They'd go to prison. They weren't able to, or not prison, jail, prison. They'd get executed.
Yeah.
You'd make it all crazy. But no, they'd take them to jail, and they wouldn't be able to play in the next game. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't be able to play the big game that they're like this big rivalry. And dude, like, they have this statue on the campus of Arizona State, and it's, their colors are red, are maroon and gold, and ours are red and blue. And they'd go and paint that shit red and blue, like just spray paint it, make it all look all shitty. And then they'd come and paint our white A gold if they, you know, wanted to fuck with us. So that was a cool thing. I always thought that was fascinating. It was always kind of fascinating. It's always kind of like just like this goofy ass game with legal repercussions. And like that's been a thing since I was a fucking child.
Well, and you see that a lot in college sports with these cool rivalries like that. Like, they play for certain things. I mean, up here in New England, college sports aren't really that big. College basketball is probably the biggest, but like college football, the only real rivalries up here are the Ivy League schools. I mean, Harvard and Yale is a big one. I mean, we have Army's in New York, but you know, Army Navy game doesn't really count for our area. That's more of a national thing, but yeah, we're relegated to pro sports up here. It sucks.
Yeah. We have the Ivy League, like you say, the Harvard Yale game is a big deal to them. I could give a shit less. They both suck.
Yeah.
And then whatever Dartmouth plays, they suck too. University, UNH, UNH hockey is a big thing here in New Hampshire. So our rivalry in college hockey is a UNH and the Maine Bears, out of Maine, University of Maine. So
yeah, when I was in Connecticut, Ron, we had Yale and Quinnipiac, which are two really big hockey schools too. And that's the Hockey East, that's a big thing up here. I never got into it. My dad actually grew up in upstate New York. So St. Lawrence is another one of those big, you know, little schools that makes no sense, but it's a huge hockey school. But Hockey East known up here.
Oh, big time. Have you ever heard of the Bean Pot?
Yes. Oh yeah, I've been to it a couple times.
Okay, so the Bean Pot is all your Hockey East teams.
Yep.
Right. You got Harvard. It's always BU that seems to walk away with that. BU is just Boston University Terriers. And then you have BC, BU, BC's Boston College. Then you have Harvard, you have UMass.
Wait. They have a team called the Boston Terriers?
Yeah, yes. Boston University.
Oh, my God. That's so
so
cool, dude.
They got a kick-ass hockey team, man.
The Boston Terriers.
And then, of course, in basketball, you have the UConn. Basketball's big in UConn. And in the UConn female basketball team is huge. So that's more down Matt's way. But yeah, no, hockey's a big thing up here in New England. At least it is up here, you know, up in this part. But yeah.
They're female hockey teams?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I want to get a trans guy in there. quick.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm going to do with my son, Ryan. I'm going to teach him how to play hockey, but women's hockey. That's where we're going.
Hey, just tell him to sit down to pee and how to handle a puck.
There we go. I found my scholarship opportunity. I can get out of college.
I'll tell you, a friend of mine's daughter, and I forget what city it is, but she plays for professional female hockey, and it's the team is the Riveters. I'm trying to think, is it out of Pennsylvania? Anyways, I don't know, but I remember him always telling me, oh, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take my daughter to hockey. And she's in the National Hockey League, like female hockey league. So she does really good, but chicks can play hockey, Ryan.
I don't doubt it, dude. I'm sure like if I
brutal, they could be.
If you threw me on ice skates and you try and put me in the middle of a girls hockey team, they'd probably fuck me up because I don't know how to ice skate.
Yeah, you'd be all done.
I'd figure it out quick though. I'd throw hands, dude. If a girl team starts messing me up, I will throw hands and elbows. I have no shame. Yeah, I'll make sure that I don't get embarrassed by these ladies.
And they would still kick your ass. These lady hockey players are tough, man. They're really tough.
Yeah, I honestly don't doubt it. Some of these chicks are nasty. But yeah, dude, I don't know. Like we got into a tangent there. I was really just curious as to what this whole thing would be distracting us from. I don't know. I think that I think we're in for some interesting times, man. Gas is going to get expensive. Shelves are going to be empty. It's going to be very. I think it's going to be different, dude. I don't think we'll go back to the times before 2020. You know what I mean? I think that it's going to be.
No,
it's going to be very, very different.
Yeah,
the new normal thing that they were pushing is very real. There's going to be some sort of, and the whole thing, you know, the agenda 2030, that has kind of been forgotten about, because again, all that we're talking about is Ukraine. Again, another thing that Ron and I were talking about yesterday, I actually don't give much credence to the distraction theory, because most Americans especially only pay attention to what they're hearing on the news. So it's like, what the fuck would this be distracting us from as a whole? Because no one is out there actually looking for unique information. Everyone is absorbing what they hear from CNN, Fox, social media, all these other things. So what would this be distracting us from? Is there something bigger?
It's kind of the transition, Ryan, because you're not hearing about as much COVID cases, COVID deaths.
Good point.
COVID, I haven't heard anything about vaccine pushes lately. You know, like I know,
you know what, Matt?
What's that?
My sister went to, she's sick. My sister went to urgent care. Guess what she's got? Not COVID. She's got a sinus infection.
Get out. No COVID?
I swear to God. No COVID. It's interesting. You know what I mean? Let's see how often people are actually diagnosed with COVID from here on out. And we'll put a timestamp on it. It's fucking, the last day of Black History Month.
March 1st.
Okay. Well, it's the day after Black History Month. Let's be fucking honorable here.
We'll give them their month. The shortest month of the year.
Yeah. The shortest month of the year.
That's Wednesday. March 1st is on Wednesday. Yeah, Black History Month, shortest month of the year. So, you know, they get that one less day off, which I'm sure they could protest about or whatever.
Dude, I always actually kind of thought that was a slap in the face. But yes, it's very interesting. We'll put a timestamp on it. We'll say that, you know, we'll see how many people actually get diagnosed with COVID from here on out. And hopefully
I think Ebola didn't come out of I think it's dying, man. I think people are just done with it, you know, and the whole point of it obviously was the push for the vaccines, and they've gotten to a point where what can they do anymore? You know, I mean, the mandates aren't working. I mean, they're going to, now here's the thing. The caveat I'm going to throw out there is, we have to check back in December after the election and see where we are too, because this is all, you know, dog and pony show to get us to the midterms.
I was just going to say, Matt, sorry to interrupt. What do you think, what kind of cluster, you know what, are we got coming up in that, this whole midterm thing? I mean, is this war just a distraction to keep the midterms from even happening. Like Ryan says, calling martial law, we're being threatened with cyber attacks. Look at, we're the United States of America. You get you are you trying to make me believe that Russia could turn off our power and they haven't even turned off the power in fucking Ukraine?
Right. But that's the thing, Ron. So the only reason that I think that this would be possible, it wouldn't be Russia turning off our power. It would be the United States government turning off our power and saying that Russia did it. Just like they stole the election, just like all this other shit. They would be doing it themselves. You know what I mean? I feel like we're the actual targets here. And I'm not trying to be selfish, but I just think that the United States citizens that are angry about this, the last 2 years almost, right? I mean, it's been a year, really, right? No, it's been not two. Yeah, well, it's been two. Yeah, it's been two. I mean, time flies when you're having fun. But yeah, you know, it's I think that we're the targets, dude, because even the people that are voting for Biden, you're not seeing them proud that they voted for Biden. Everyone is very, very upset with this push, and a lot more people are becoming quote unquote woke, right? Or awakened, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it's people are upset.
Yeah. There's a difference between woke and the people that are waking up. I know it's fucked up, but there is a difference there.
Oh, of course there is. Yeah. Woke is just like, there's 70,000 genders, you know, and then the other one is like, you know, there's some shady stuff going on. The government doesn't have your best interest in mind. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. But I think that our government will screw us over at the end of this.
You know, I'm just noticing, I'm watching this this live feed out of Kiev. Actually, it's out of Lviv, but they just spelled that wrong. Anyway, they must have dropped all their mask mandates too, because I don't see any of the soldiers wearing masks.
Well, and only like 30% of them are vaccinated.
Well, you know, if they get shot and they die, it could have been worse.
Could have been COVID death.
They could die with COVID, not from COVID.
I wonder how many of them would be considered COVID deaths on their on a death certificate.
Well, that's what's so funny. They stand with all these unvaccinated Ukrainians, but we're parasites of our society.
Well, it looks like Zelensky's on. Hey, did you see the latest thing? Now they want NATO to impose a no-fly zone over Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, did you see it the other day when...
How are they going to enforce that if we're not getting involved? If NATO's not getting involved, how could they enforce a no-fly zone?
NATO needs to be disbanded.
Yes. NATO needs to go away. NATO is... Well, that's just, NATO is like the UN.
The money sucker. It's the money sucker anyways. Yeah.
Yep. It's the European UN for us, basically. You know, it's our own little sandbox to play in and terrorize other nations. And
North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Fuck it all.
Yeah, it's just it's antiquated. It's that Cold War, you know, that fear from the 50s and 60s that they just won't let go of.
Well, to your point, Matt, when you know you did that episode recently, that was phenomenal the way that you did that. And notice I used the new F word. That's not fascinating. It was phenomenal, which is a P word actually. But you know, it's what you were talking about with the timelines repeating. You know, we were texting a little bit back and forth last night with the idea of like the Spanish flu of 1918, correct? Is this when this started? And then the World War II starts. Shit. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, we might have just had like, you know, World War I, which started in 1917, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The next year. So World War I in this timeline could have been COVID, right? That could have been World War I. And then World War II, just 2 years later, instead of 1 year later, could have been what we're seeing right now with this whole bullshit going on with, you know, what we're seeing right now, literally. And then World War III happens with, you know, that would be World War II, which happens after. I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but I think that it just makes sense that you're saying pandemic. And then or world war and then pandemic and then world war again. And this world war could be World War III. And then it's all gone after that, dude. You know, who knows, man? It's very interesting.
It really is. I don't know if we're ever going to see a world war again, you know, in the sense that we did in World War II. I don't know. There's something about me that I don't think that people are going to buy into it. you know, unless there's this tremendous threat, you know, like, you know, if it would be, we'll use an example, like a Chinese red threat, right? Where they're just going around and just doing what the Nazis did in World War II, you know, just start swallowing up all the countries around them, taking them all in. And, you know, other than that, I don't see countries coming together on a massive scale anymore. I don't see the people allowing it.
I'm just concerned that some people are talking, you know, Putin is talking supposedly about nuclear war. And because I heard from pretty credible sources, in my opinion, that once they start talking about nuclear war, that's just one step closer to actually getting there. Right. And yeah, maybe that's just propaganda, but, the way that I would see it, again, bringing it down to like the most basic level, if the three of us are superpowers and we all have bombs that we can bomb each other's houses, why would any of us talk about that? Why would any of us, like, we're all trying to figure out like how to get at the end of this thing, this conflict that the three of us have. Why would we not, why would we mention bombs? Why would we mention this shit if we could just steer clear of that?
Yeah, it'd be like you and I getting in a street fight, Ryan, and I'm bragging about I'm gonna get all my guns and blow you up. You know,
exactly.
It's the same thing. You don't use it as a threat unless you're planning on using it, or you're just using it as a major deterrent. But I see what you're saying, that this doesn't seem like he's just using it as a deterrent, because everybody knows Russia has, quote unquote, the most nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it's like us fighting with hands, and one of our fucking friends is like, dude, I'm going to get out and shoot you if you don't get off of them. You know what I mean? And then, like, who knows what your other friends got? Yeah, that's a better analogy there. Yeah, I'm just fucking stupid when I try and bring these things up. But, yeah, no, that's a great way to bring that up, dude. And I just see it getting a little closer to some chaos.
Yeah, and Ron, what do you think? Because I'm interested to see what happens this week with the trucker convoy here coming in D.C., because they're trying to get into D.C. right around when Biden wants to give that, State of the Union. So
tomorrow, right?
State of the Union is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. They're already putting the fences up around the White House and the Capitol building, right? They're already doing that.
Wait, Ron, you're telling me that fences and walls work?
Oh, yeah. Except down your way.
What?
They don't work down Arizona and Texas.
They work to protect buildings, not borders.
Sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So you got the truckers are converging on DC now. Could be a potential false flag there. Ryan and I talked about that. There's a theory that there's already infiltrators in on that convoy that are going to cause trouble, right? So
all it takes, Ron, is one truck with some explosives.
Yeah, and not even much. I mean, look what the Ryder truck did to the Oklahoma City building, right?
Oh, come on.
Well,
I'm just saying. Hey, speaking of ammonia nitrate, did you see where Putin has ordered no exporting of it? Because I guess they make the most of it in the whole world.
Well, and that's another thing, Ron, that we forgot to talk about yesterday when we're talking about petroleum products. What about soil? I mean, soil comes from fucking gas. Right. I mean, it's crazy if you're going to simplify it like that. Yeah, dude. You know, food's gone. Food's gone. You're not going to be able to eat in a couple of years if you don't fucking wake up.
Well, up here in New England, we still use good old fashioned cow shit. And that seems to work pretty good. You can go to any farm and they'll just fucking load your truck right up.
Yeah.
But how are you going to grow their food? How are you going to grow the cow food without ammonium nitrate?
Have you ever been to New England?
I have not.
Okay, you need to come up and you would just look around and you'll answer your question before.
But honestly, Ron, but we've been living in this system. What would the cows be eating if it wasn't for like the modern day world? I understand that they eat grass and stuff, but like, I don't get it. It wouldn't work out the same way, I don't think.
If New England was isolated from the rest of the country, we wouldn't need anybody. We make our own arms in New England. We have our own farms in New England. We have lots of pasture in New England. We have lots of forest. We have lots of corn. So they feed cows here. It's called haylage. And what it is, it's corn silage. Matt, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Silage is, they grow corn not for human consumption. Uh-huh. They grow corn to feed the cows. and that's called silage or haylage. And when you see the big silos at the farms, that's where they store it for the winter, in these big, great, big, huge silos. So what they'll do, they'll take, say, a 40-acre field, and they'll just grow corn in it, right? But yeah. here we call it cow corn. It's called cow corn.
Yep.
And they just cut it, and it mulches it up into this fine thing. It goes into silos, and that's what they feed the cows, along with hay in the winter. But all summer, they're grazing. They're out in the pastures.
Ron, I think that's propaganda, though, because we have that same thing here in Arizona. People were moving here to Arizona for the four C's. You got climate, copper, cotton, and cattle. That was the four C's. So there's always these reasons that people want to move to these areas. And yeah, I agree. Yeah, probably there's definitely good reasons to move to each one of these regions. But man, I think that the reason that we've gotten to the point is because we have these 50 little independent countries, and that's exactly what the states are. They're these 50 little independent countries that benefit each other.
That's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're supposed to be independent countries. But my point was, is New England is pretty self-sufficient. I mean, we could do trade with the Canadians if we wanted to.
Well, and Ron, we have the huge coastline too, right?
I was just going to say that. So we do a lot of business with the Canadian Maritimes. I mean, we could live off of what comes out of the ocean. Forget about what's roaming around in your backyard. I mean, we could literally survive off of what grows, what's out in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So I mean, New England's a good place to be. The weather really sucks here.
And cost of living, Ron. Thing.
Cost of living is very high here. Yeah, cost of living's very high. Property tax, we won't even get into that. Like what I pay for property tax here, a mansion in Florida won't even be that much. It's like ridiculous. But that's how we fund the schools. And until they get that roped in.
Now, do you guys get excise on your car too? On your vehicles?
We pay a registration tax. So it's pretty high. Yeah. Like say, even my oldest car cost me $200 to register. Our truck, the first year I registered it, it was $900. The second year was $800. Now it's down to $400 because it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
But it's still $400. Yeah. My Volvo's like $200. So to register all of our vehicles, it still costs me like $1,200.
Yep.
And that's in December and January because it's on your birth month that you have to do that. So it's expensive up here, like big time expensive. Hmm. But we don't have sales tax and we don't have income tax. So I guess it's all relative.
That's why we all run up your way to go buy booze.
Well, that's why we sell so much of it.
Yeah.
Every other New England state comes to New Hampshire to buy their booze. We know that.
If you don't, you're stupid. Yeah. Why would, especially, I mean, it's worth the drive.
Yeah. And you buy our cigarettes too. Yeah. Our cigarettes and our booze. Yeah.
Tobacco. Yeah. So, all of it.
It is crazy how close everything is up there where you guys are at, because things are so spaced apart out here where I am. You know what I mean? It's very, very weird. And then you see patterns where, you know, people that move out of their parents' homes, they move like on an average of where you guys are at, like 6 miles away. On average, and then where we're at, it's like 25 to 30 miles away is where people move, and it's just because it's shit's more spaced out. It's relative, but people think, like, if you're just looking at that without any knowledge of how things are, you're like, oh, people in the West move farther and farther away from their parents. It's like, no, man, like, shit's just more spread out here. It's weird. It's
crazy you say that, Ryan, because I left my house to go to college and everything. I moved up to Rhode. I went to Rhode Island, and then I moved back to Connecticut and got a job back there after school. And then, after I got married and had my son, we bought a house, and it was literally 3 miles from my parents' house, So I did exactly what you're saying I came back right to that area. And until I got divorced and had to move up here. I was in that like 3 to 5 mile range from where I grew up, essentially. And I'd never even heard that before. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at a map of how, like, it's the same idea of like Rumspringer when, you know, the Amish, they get that year to go and run wild after they fucking, you know, were, you know, when they turn 18, they get to go and live in the modern world. 95% of them or something go back. You know what I mean? It's because people are comfortable where they're at. And even you can be the most independent minded person. You could still just want to have that tie, that anchor back to where you started. There's something about human nature with that. I myself, I live 15 miles away from my parents. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've lived about 20 miles away. That's the farthest I've ever gotten. So it's just interesting. You know, there's something about that.
I'm a mile. I'm exactly 1.2 miles from my mom's house because that's the family homestead down near the big farm. But yeah, even my wife, her mom just lives the next town over.
Yep.
So yeah, so everybody lives pretty close, Ryan. So you're right. So let me give you an example. From my doorstep, if I could travel, I could be to Massachusetts, the Massachusetts border, in less than 40 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could be to Maine in less than an hour. And it would take me a little bit longer to get to Vermont only because there's no easy way to get there. Like to get to Vermont, you have to basically go north, which makes no sense. If you wanted to go straight west to get to Vermont, well, you could probably be there in less than an hour, right? So I could be to all the surrounding states in about an hour, right? Roughly. Well, it's probably an hour to Vermont because I could be to my sister's. My sister's is 2 hours away and she's way up in Vermont. So 2.5 hours. I could be to Canada. I could hit the Canadian border and I want to say 4 hours. And again, there's no easy way to get there, right? It's
yeah. And you're still, Ron, like 2 hours away from New York too, New York State.
New York State is, no, that's a little more than that. So to get to New York State from here, you got to go through Vermont to get there.
Oh, you do?
So,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, you go right straight west. You go right through Vermont. Actually, what you do is you go down to Keene, which is down in Monadnock region.
Yep.
And that's right in the corner where Massachusetts, Vermont, and then just a little bit further is New York.
Yep.
So it's all like North Adams, Mass. You're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
North Adams, Mass. In that area. That's right over towards New York there. But
I'm out in the Western Mass. Yeah, I'm probably 25, 30 minutes from New York border.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were over near Mohawk Trail.
Yeah.
You're over that way. Yeah. Yeah. So you're close to North.
Yeah. We're in the valley. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyways, but I could be in New York City in 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be there in like 16. I can get there.
And you know what?
There in probably three
none of you want to go there. There is nothing.
Yeah, I have no desire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even not now. Even back in the day, like I grew up in Connecticut, and you know, and then so I, you know, had friends, spent a lot of time in the city. I rarely went down there. Like I never saw what everybody else saw about the city. I just, man, it's so dirty and disgusting, and so many people. Well,
you guys got to come out here, man. Fucking see some saguaros.
I've been out there. I was out. I played ball at ASU for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not know that. ASU is there's a lot of beautiful women there.
Oh, my God.
It's up there with like the, you know, rank of California school.
Yeah, it's like USC. I've seen both. And yeah, ASU girls can hold it down with anybody in the country.
Oh, yeah. That's we're proud of that. We're proud of that. But that's our rival school. Tucson's the same. U of A's the same. But yeah, man, love to see you guys out here. But yeah, I'm gonna head out here because I am gonna eat some tacos.
Yeah, I gotta grab something to eat myself. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Just plug your stuff real quick, and we'll get out of here. Ron, go ahead.
Who froze? Somebody froze.
Me?
Who's frozen? Are we back?
So. Are you there, Ron?
All right. Yeah, I'm here now. Yeah, no, I froze up there for a second, which was weird. Anyways, yeah, Ron from New England. Come follow me on Instagram. Come and follow me at the Wicked Planet Podcast, also on Instagram. And check out the Wicked Planet Podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, you know, whatever. It's like seven. I mean, we're all on the same thing, right? So it's like 7 or 8 places you can come listen to us. Come check us out. come listen to me on The Dangerous World. Come listen to us at Talk of the Tavern. Come listen to us on Matt's Monday Nights Master Debater Show. Which Hell is very yeah. good. But no, Matt, thanks for having me on. I always love coming on doing these group
thanks,
shows.
Thanks for joining us, Ron. Yeah. And hey, I highly recommend especially the last like four or five podcasts you guys have been putting out with the new series to anyone that has any interest in what we've been talking about tonight and the real history deep, you know, we're talking biblical and pre-biblical times.
Oh yeah.
Check out Ron's show. That far. Yep.
Yeah. We're going that far too. It's going to be really, really fun, but thanks for having me on, Matt.
Oh, always a pleasure, sir. Ryan, where can they find the Dangerous World podcast?
Oh, I hope that they can find me wherever they find you guys. But yeah, I agree with what you said, Matt. You know, Ron's last few episodes have been epic. And also yours have been great, dude. Obviously, we're listening on your feed here. But yeah, dude, that What the Fuck's a Tartarian? That's a great episode. You know, you're really doing a good job, dude. And I appreciate just the work that people are putting in. And man, it's a fucking fun community, dude. I love this stuff. So you can find me anywhere. YouTube channel, trying to grow that slowly but surely. It's coming. You know, dangerousworldstore.com, Dangerous World on Patreon.
You got wherever. New t-shirts, right?
I do have the new COVID World Tour, and then the Trust the Science shirts coming out probably tomorrow. So nice. I just need to get the design up, but the COVID World Tour shirts are already printed. Those Trust the Science ones won't be printed for a little bit, but you can buy them and then I'll ship them out within like 3 or 4 days. So sometimes it takes me a minute, man. You know, I'm a one man band, so it takes some time sometimes to do all this shit.
Yeah, give us a break for Christ's sakes. Come on, people.
I know. I mean, not enough of these cheap fucks put down money on the Patreon, and it pisses me off. You know what I mean? Like, people can throw down $3 fucking. Everyone listening, if I had everyone listening put down $3 fucking, I'd have like fucking $5,000. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, or not even $3, right, Ryan? With all your listeners, if they paid you $2.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
But I think it's important to remind the listeners, like, if they go to Dangerous World Store, right, these shirts are handmade by Ryan himself. These are not made by any online company. They're not from China. Any of that. Ryan sits there and he makes them himself, one at a time. So every shirt that you get is a one-off shirt. So that ought to be worth something. Go out there and support the Dangerous World. Go spend some fucking money. Join the Patreon. I'm a producer level at Patreon.
Yes, he is.
Ryan for a long time. I support him. And people just need to do that. And I'm going to start asking for money too soon, people. So
you need
I'm going to have to start. Yeah, I need to buy some stuff, man.
Well, yeah, not only do I print the shirts, I rub my nutsack on each one of the tags. So you got like a little bit of a special scent of me, a special scent of Ryan on each shirt. Ryan.
You should have each shirt have Kim just put the shirt on for a couple of minutes and take it off and say, yeah. This shirt has already been worn by insane, crazy Jane, the lovely Kim.
I could have her squirting each one a little bit.
You could do that. Or whatever.
Dude, this went off the rails real quick.
Get some nipple juice on it. Something like that.
Honestly, everything is created in a sanitary environment. I keep my office fairly clean. So, Matt, what about you, dude? Where can they find you?
And I will attest to your shirts. I probably have 10 of them, and they're the most comfortable t-shirts out there. And there are no nutsack stains on any of them. So I will attest to
that. The one that you got the two or three, what you bought like a certain batch that I fucked up on.
One of the first batches, yeah.
I replaced them.
Yeah, it didn't stick. And dude, you end up sending me new ones. I didn't even ask for it. So, you know, I appreciate that. But ever since, I haven't had a single issue. I've ordered just about every shirt you've had since.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate all the compliments. I feel like something bad's gonna happen to me after we get off the recording because of all the positive energy. All right,
we'll go eat your tacos, you know?
Yeah. What's going on with you, dude? Yeah,
you can find my stuff at the Great Deception Podcast, Instagram, YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey, starting to hopefully put together a little bit more YouTube videos, and we'll go from there. Eventually, we're going to start a little merch shop, get some t-shirts and whatever else we can put out there. And much like Ron, I think this year we might start making a move to put some pay there so we can start upgrading the show, get some equipment.
Yeah.
And actually have a legitimate production here on our hands.
Yeah. And you know, Matt, it's important for people to know too, like when we start asking for donations or money or Patreons, like how Ryan does it, like we don't take this money and go drinking and partying with it.
Like I do. Money, I do.
Well, this money goes directly back into the show to make the production better, so it's better for the listeners. So we care about the listeners. Obviously, we care very much of the product that we're putting out. But it costs money. We have a lot of money invested in our stuff. Is just okay, and it needs to be better. Yep. So when we're asking for money, listen, none of us guys sit on our ass. Believe me, we all put in long days, and we still find time to do the research, to put out a good product, put out a good show, something you guys could be interested in, the listeners. So that just shows our dedication. So maybe we want some other people to show us a little dedication. Maybe slip us a few bucks to help us out. I don't think it's a lot to ask.
Not at all.
I'll tell you right now, if the three of us had a show together, it would be at the top of the charts of whatever fucking sector we entered. This is a fun conversation every time.
Yeah. Always, hey,
that's
guys.
That's why I like doing these group shows, because it gets us out there even further. And more exposure is good. There's no such thing as bad exposure. Unless it's your Uncle Jimmy on a Sunday out in the playground. That's not good exposure.
And with that image,
I love my Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, we will let Uncle Jimmy in his trench coat leave you for the night. So, guys, again, thank you so much for joining me. Everyone, stay strong and question everything.